This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jenny hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, espousing wisdom and enlightenment throughout the globe, as we do every week here on the P2 Podcast. Fans all over the world can tune in, can bring up their handheld devices, their laptops, and listen into what's going on in Phil World, in music, in recording, in Texas. All things good and productive. How you doing, everybody? Phil here with you. Thrilled as always. Delighted to be here on the podcast this week. My sincere apologies. Forgive me. We've had so much going on here. Been traveling a lot, recording a lot. We've been a little lax here. Last week we did not have a new podcast. We got ground to make up here. My apologies to you P2 faithful out there. I got your emails. Where's the podcast? Hanging on every episode, every week, that when it's not there, it's just like the sun doesn't come up that day. Oh my. Oh, so flattering. I think I learned more by laying out for 1 week than I did by putting it out every week consistently. Episode 106, can you believe it? That's almost 2 years, man. A little over 2 years of the P2 Podcast. And man, I know we missed last week. And I think maybe Christmas that first year, episode 52 or 53, 54 might have been a week late or so. But other than that, man, pretty rock solid. Putting together 1 hour shows for you every week. And we have you, the fans, to thank for it. If I didn't think y'all are out there listening, I wouldn't continue. I couldn't go on not knowing there was wasn't an audience out there. Well, what has been going on, Phil? Where have you been? You've been out there at the front lines fighting the good battle of music, family, and independent businessman, independent business. Well, I'm back from the front and I have the news. Of course, we've had Private Party April. Private Party April! What an experiment it was, man. A resounding success. Man, you'll be shocked. You can go on Facebook, look up pictures. There's pictures of me sitting on people's back porches, sitting on a cooler of beer around a campfire, just strumming guitars. Oh, man, fantastic. My thanks to all of you out there, all of you enlightened souls out there who jumped all over this when I said, look, $500, I come play in your backyard, solo gig, an hour long. Of course, they all stretched into like 2 hours. I played for 2 hours, I think. All you folks out there, wouldn't you agree? I think I played 2 hours. But it was great. Enjoyed it. Saw a lot of friends I hadn't seen in a long time. Some folks maybe that hadn't been to some shows. We did probably, I don't know, probably seven or eight of these things. I just rolled up in the band van with a couple speakers, got out, played some songs, solo acoustic. I mean, there was always crawfish or fried fish, great food. I ate some great food, cold beer, playing some tunes. Loved every second of it. Email me, Phil at philpritchard.com, if this is something we need to do every year. You know, April's kind of a funny month a little bit. There's a lot going on. The weather gets warm. People get busy. It can be a bit difficult for me, Phil, how you doing, to go play dark, dingy bars in April. There's festivals and stuff kind of going on. So I don't know, man. I was kind of thinking about making Private Party April a yearly thing, just to give people a year out, just to say, man, let's go ahead and book Phil for one of the Fridays or Saturdays in April. We pretty much did every Friday and Saturday, just about. So look forward to that. Give me your feedback on that, as always. Phil at philpritchard.com. Let me know if Private Party April needs to be an annual event, an annual occurrence. Oh, man, what is in the news? What is in the news? You know, I've started receiving the Wall Street Journal again. Honestly, I want you to think very hard about all the Texas music shows you go to, all these dudes up there smoking and drinking with tattoos, playing music, singing about stuff. How many of those guys have a subscription to the Wall Street Journal? Right here. How you doing? I'm not saying that's good or bad. It's just kind of funny, isn't it? How many Texas music folks, troubadours are out there who have a personal subscription to the Wall Street Journal? I don't know. I might be alone in that category. Email me if I'm wrong. Phil at philpritchard.com. You know, someone who might is my friend Owen Temple. You know Owen Temple, right? Gary Floater aficionado. Man, I played a great show at the lake a while back with Fred Andrews, Honey Brown. And Owen had a little song swap out there at Matt Pivoteau's place on the lake. Lake Bryan. Man, Owen's funny. It wouldn't surprise me if Owen had a subscription to the Wall Street Journal. That wouldn't surprise me one bit. But who else? Who else out there? Always some great stuff in there. A lot of great music stuff in the journal. But one article a few weeks ago that really caught my attention, written by the great P.J. O'Rourke. I think that's how you say it. P.J. O'Rourke. He's a kind of a conservative humorist guy. Writes a lot for Rolling Stone for years. He's been around for a long time. I don't know. He's probably in his late 50s, 60s now. Huge diatribe in the journal about how he hates bicycles. And man, I read this article. I was laughing so hard. And man, now he lives in New York, I think. And so it's a lot more of a bigger issue with him. Here in Texas, we get a lot of space. You know, some bike lane in a park. Eh, who cares? It's not in my way. But in New York, you've got very limited space. Traffic is tight. As he said in the article, PJ, he goes, man, you're in your car. You're trying to squeeze between a taxi cab and a delivery truck. But man, now in New York, they've got all these bike lanes. And there's huge fines for like driving in a bike lane or parking and blocking a bike lane. All the bicyclists have tremendous rights in these big cities. New York, you know, LA. And he just goes off, man, just like, man, how many people really ride bicycles? He said, man, it's fine and everything. He goes, let's just face it. We have evolved past the bicycle. A bicycle can only carry one person. It cannot carry any goods and services, any product, any shipping. It's just so some guy can feel good about himself driving around on a bike instead of a car. He goes, but man, he's taking away my right to squeeze past a delivery truck between a cab. And it's pretty funny. But I don't know. I find myself getting annoyed because the bicyclers, they never seem to stop at stop signs. There's kind of a law doesn't apply to them kind of deal. And there's I don't know. I've never been pro bicycle. Not very much. Now off-roading or something like that, you're up in the woods. That's fine. But you know, I don't know. Out there in traffic, weaving around, look out, I say. The rest of us are trying to drive cars. We're transporting band equipment, children, families. Some guy weaving around on his bike like he's got the right to the road. No, I say, no. So anyway, check that out if you'd like to. Wall Street Journal, PJ O'Rourke on bicycles and tax dollars just paying for bicycle lanes. Ooh, we got to have bicycle lanes. Who's it really helping? Who knows? I have no idea. You know what else occurred to me the other day? I'm just kind of jumping around. This is just Phil scattershooting here. It's been a couple weeks, right? Now, this title, this crown has been held by many bands. Just the dumbest band ever. I want you to listen very carefully. The dumbest band ever. Now, before you start pointing to New Kids on the Block or, the Jonas Brothers, pick your poison, okay? Those bands can be explained. And what I mean is this. They're young, good-looking bands. It's kiddie pop. You know, there's always going to be some band out there playing kiddie pop. You know, you accept it. There's always, if it's not one, it's the other. You know, if it's not Hillary Duff, it's Miley Cyrus. If it's not her, it's, you know, somebody else. It just, the wheel turns around and round and round. There's always someone winning. Every time the wheel stops at the roulette table, somebody wins, right? Well, man, let me just put this to you. The Black Eyed Peas, you hear what I just said? The Black Eyed Peas played the Super Bowl. Man, dumbest band in the history of popular music. And this is my case, is precisely because of that. They played the Super Bowl where the Stones have played, the Who, U2, Petty, Springsteen. But there's an effort by the Black Eyed Peas and their management and stuff, and understandably so, to make them a legitimate band. They don't show up and just sort of like, oh, these stupid things. They're on like big time commercials. They play the Super Bowl. They have big tours. I mean, they are presented to the world as a legitimate culture, artistic defining act of our times. Does that make sense? And I feel like New Kids on the Block, they're not served up that way. It's kind of, I don't know, if you get those managers of the Jonas Brothers, they'd say, well, you know, we're going to ride this out for a few years until all these guys get married and lose their hair and gain weight. Until then, we're riding it out. But that's not what the Black Eyed Peas appear to be doing. It's intriguing to me. They show up in these previously hallowed venues, hallowed positions, where only legitimate bands go. And I would just ask all of you out there to just take a good look. Of course, their music is just, it's funny. It's just, you know, run-of-the-mill, fun, party, stupid. It's just stupid. How can I describe the lyrics? It's just fun. It's inane. But other bands like that it's just club music. It's stupid. Nobody cares about it. The Peas are served up differently. They are served up differently. How often have you heard about, you know, Fergie's struggles, her drug addiction? They paint her as this real rock star, this artist who has overcome so much. It's just hilarious. Drives me crazy. And worse than that is Will.i.am. Oh, you don't read about this guy in the press without them about it following up with, he's a genius. Will.i.am, a producer, a genius. I'm like, a genius? I'm looking at his act. I'm looking at their music. And it's the dumbest show and the dumbest music I've ever heard, which doesn't matter. Except for the fact that it's being served to me like, this is now, this is the future, this is where we've come to. And I, for one, refuse to accept Black Eyed Peas, just the dumbest band ever. Four people jumping around, none of them can sing or play an instrument. Their quote-unquote songs they write are just mindless, thumping idiocy. And yet, they are served to us like, this is the band of our times. Am I wrong about that? Am I taking them too seriously? I don't know. I feel like that's how they're being served up, that I'm supposed to contemplate, to chew on their cultural significance. It's just that they won't go away. Oh, God. I mean, what's next? Are we going to have the Black Eyed Peas unplugged? You know, are we going to have are they going to release a double vinyl album? What's next? What vaunted sacred realm are they going to tread upon now? Next. And say, man, these guys are genius. Will.i.am and Fergie used to be on crack or whatever. Oh, dumbest band ever. Tell me a different one. Phil@philpritchard.com. Let me know. Well, what a show we have for you today. Our old friend Rodney Parker of 50 Peso Reward fame is going to be here in our next segment talking about his struggles. Very frank discussion. I'm just going to ask you, man, what are your real struggles out there, you know? Well, I'll compare notes. I'll compare notes with the guy. Oh, man, have you been ordering those hot damn tamales? HotDamnTamales.com. Just go there, set your mind free. It's my friend Constantine down there, runs the place. Dude, cowboy barbecue brisket tamales, beer, jalapeno, and beef tenderloin tamales, cheese, Oaxaca cheese, and black bean. Beautiful photos on there. HotDamnTamales.com. Check it out. Check it out. And order some. They'll deliver it, you know, fresh in the little frozen cooler right to your door. And just say, man, Pritchett, not only does he turn me on to insight, enlightenment, and great music, he turns me on to some great food as well. Set your mind free. HotDamnTamales.com. Well, well, well. Enough plug-in here for my buddies here in Fort Worth. Let's get Rodney Parker in here to talk a little shop, talk about his frustrations, and we'll compare notes on that. Rodney Parker. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here, your own P2, on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Broadcasting worldwide to all you enlightened souls out there, seeking guidance, seeking knowledge, wanting to be in the know, listening to this program, and just feeling smarter as it happens. Well, 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 what do we have this week? None other than your beloved North Texas rock and roller, a guy out there remaking the image of Texas music, one gig, one album, one song at a time, and having a hell of a good time doing it. The great Rodney Parker is here.
Hey. Thanks for having me back.
I know it, man. We've just been going week to week here, talking about our, you know, common experiences, our common experiences in the past, talking about, oh, man, how you got into music, records you've made, etc. I wanted to ask you a little more about... you know, you're out there kind of essentially running your own business. You know, you got your bands and your guys helping you out, this distributor and this booking agent. And you shuffle those guys around like so many cards in a deck, right? You know? Well, always trying to get a better hand.
Yeah.
You know, I was going, hey, what if I did this first? That's all well and good. But you've got your team around you out there. What are some things, anything occur to you here? In your experience, your growing experience now in the business, what seems to work, what seems to not work, maybe things that have changed here in the last couple of years, or do you find that things are just going swimmingly well?
Well, you know, they're never going swimmingly well, I don't think.
What's the biggest Achilles heel for you? I mean, what is the biggest, yeah, it's great, you know, here I'm having a beer, I'm playing music, everybody loves me here in this place, but what, you know, when you get home and you hang your head down, what's the crushing reality that you deal with
the thing that,
day in and day out?
I think that, you know, the frustrating thing about this business, and you can, I know, relate, is that you figure, like any other job, your boss or the person who decides, like, whether you get the promotion or not,
right,
or get the raise or not, would be, like, more tenured than you and more experienced and,
right,
assuming more knowledgeable or whatever. But the... That's not the case.
In this. I don't know where this is going.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like
Bieber goes to the front of the line.
You know,
I mean that's in an alternate universe, yeah, but you know that kind of deal.
And it's just like
Ray Wiley Hubbard's just, you know, turning in his grave.
You know,
of course he's not dead, but you know, yeah. You do see guys go shooting up into the stratosphere, and you're like, wait a minute, that guy used to open for us, or you know,
or just like you know, there's no like music professional deciding like. Mm-hmm. How successful we are. It's
right,
a lot of other things, and that can be really frustrating.
What are some of those other things? What matters?
I don't know. I wish I knew. If I knew, then, you know.
You'd bottle it and sell it?
I'd bottle it and sell it.
Well, there's been a big, that stuff can, that gets to you, doesn't it?
Well, sometimes,
you know. It's hard.
You know, like you know, obviously, you're thankful for you know,
sure,
being able to do what you do, but it's just kind of like a head scratcher sometimes.
Yeah,
like, what?
You have told the story about, you know, well, you know, my joke sometimes, these bands who open for me and look like they're
upward moment. Man, this is a great launch pad, man. The fact that y'all are opening for me is a big signal that you're on the better things. Like, what? I'm like, man, you know, I don't know. Eli Young opened for us a few times. No way, you know. And like a Ragweed, Randy Rogers, you know, I don't know. When they came up, I was playing in the local bar. They played first, whatever. Those were the first time I met all those guys was at one of our gigs when they're playing Austin for the first time. Or you know, right. And they go on and do things. And, yeah, it is kind of funny to see that. It's fun in a way. But, yeah, in a lot of ways you end up saying, hey, wait a minute, what am I doing wrong? You know?
Right, you know. But
how do you defend against that, guard against that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or do you let it just eat you alive as you drain a bottle?
Maybe somewhere in between the two.
How do you fight it off? I don't, Phil. I just drink till I fall asleep.
I just drink it away.
How about that? Did you see the Jeff Bridges movie?
Oh, Crazy Heart?
Oh, yeah.
God, that was awful. I watched it with my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, man, it was it's hard to watch with my wife and I watched it, you know? It's won all the Oscars, yay! Bingham's got a song in it. Oh, my goodness gracious. But I tell you what, man, everybody was like so over the top, and it was just but man, when you've played gigs with those guys, that's how all those guys are.
Yeah.
At that, and you know, if they're still drinking. Now, if they're sober, that's different, but I'm like, man, I mean, you know, go out there and play with them, and I'm not comparing anybody, but, you know, growing up, I played gigs with all those dudes, man, the Billy Joe Shaver, the Chris Wall, the, you know, Rusty Weir and Steve Fromholtz. I mean, those guys are hardcore, man. now, Ray Wally Hubbard, some of these guys who quit drinking, and they're a lot different, you know. Yeah. They're just, you know, eating organic food and getting ready to go on stage and brushing their teeth before they get out there or whatever. That's what he always did for his gigs.
Well, that's funny.
That's his deal. He goes, I gotta go brush my teeth. I go, what? He goes, I gotta brush my teeth for every gig. I'm like, brush your teeth. You know, that's what he goes, brushing. Yeah. Ray Wally Hubbard, there you go. That's something that can grind on you a little bit.
A little bit, you know.
Not so much other people's success. Just wondering, hey, what can I do to get a leg up? You know.
Yeah, I'm happy for anybody doing anything, you know, in music.
That's right.
But I do wonder sometimes, like, well, you know, what's the difference? But at the same time, you know, part of me knows, you know, I'm gonna make this song, and yeah, it's gonna be weird, and yeah, maybe it won't be for the radio, but I'll be happy with it.
Yeah,
maybe it's a.
You know, it's hard to. I think the hardest thing, at least for me, was just getting out of the Rolling Stone mindset. You know, you grow up with that and MTV, and that's your idea of success for so long. And I think it's hard, but I think it's comforting to get to where you just go, man. But I can grind out a living doing this, and you know, when I came, I was telling you when I went to Nashville, I came back and I just wanted some good steady pay. So what do? I'm going to go substitute teach, you know.
Did you really?
So I got here to Aledo High School for like a week or something, and man, I sat there. I mean, I got up at 6, you know, and drove out there. Great kids, great school, but man, you're there at 7. These aren't your. This isn't your class. These kids come in, and they're perfectly nice kids, but they're, you know, throwing spitballs. And you're just babysitting these guys.
Right.
In and out they go. I mean, you're there till 5. I mean, I didn't get home till 5. They didn't let out at 4. I mean, it was a beating of a day.
Sure.
I mean, just a beating. And then I'm thinking, well, at least it's a day. It's a job.
Sure.
Well, it pays about $80 a day. That's before they take out your taxes.
Okay.
And then your teacher union dues or whatever, and then they mail you a check like 3 weeks later, and you end up getting like $58.
Oh no!
For a day, I'm like $50. I was turning down like $100 gigs because I just thought, I don't want to drive out to Denton for $100. I was kind of like, well, maybe I'll rethink that. You know, I can go up here and sit in a barbecue joint and play for 2 hours. They give me a beer and some barbecue and $150. I was just kind of like. Yeah, maybe there's something to that. Maybe I'd rather do that 2 or 3 nights a week than do this every day. So there's some, I don't know, that's kind of a small...
That's the other end of it,
end of it, where you're like, well...
Is it really that bad?
This is what I do, right?
You get to hang out with a bunch of people that want to listen to you do your thing, yeah.
That's right. But you're right, though. I mean, it is tough, but that's the thing that... if you can ever come to terms with that part of it, just, hey, man, that's what I do for a living.
Right.
It could be anything else. And I like doing it, and I'm good at it. And then hopefully you are able to look back in a couple of years and go, man, it's easier to get gigs now, or I don't
know.
There's a few more people at this bar than there used to be, or whatever.
Yeah, that's all you're going for, you know, maybe an extra, just extra people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. A few more deserving souls to hear your music. Well, where do you, you mentioned you do well out in West Texas. Is that one of your stronger markets out there?
It is.
What, you attribute that to what? Radio?
I don't know. We get good radio support out there.
Out in Lubbock?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who plays you out there? Like the,
oh, God. There's a couple of different
Lone
stations.
Lone Star. Isn't there some 105.3 or something out there?
Maybe. Yeah. I'm really bad at remembering, like, call letters and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a couple of different stations that spin us out there, and in Amarillo, too. And I don't know. I guess the college being there helps.
Yeah, helps a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, we do great out there. Then there's some towns we've been playing for just as long that we still can't draw anybody in.
Like, where's a tough, what you consider a tough market?
For me, Austin is impossible.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Oh. I mean, I don't even play there anymore.
I seriously don't either. Last time I played
Where do y'all Austin, go to? Where do y'all play down there?
Well, we used to try to play the Parish, which is a great room.
I've heard of that. Where is that?
It's on 6th.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's a big room. Last time we played there, we loaded in and sound checked and stuff. Then it was time for the show, and there was no one in there. And they said, well, the bartenders don't really, you know, no one's here. So
they don't want to sit here and listen to you. They want to go home.
So we never played. We just packed it up and went home.
Oh, man. How long ago was that?
Oh.
Last week, man.
It was like probably this time last year.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So if you're looking for that live board tape for Rodney Parker and the 50 Peso Reward live at the Parish in Austin, it didn't happen, man. It's not there. What is the sound of one hand clapping? I can joke because that's happened to me about 1,000 and 5 times.
Another time we played Momo's.
I think that was... That's another tough... Austin, their venues are tough, though, aren't they? There's nowhere to park. You got to go upstairs. Yeah. God, it's just a
loaded. It's terrible. But that was the only time we've ever played to no one. Like, there was nobody, and then the bartender left... And then the door got left. So, like, there was nobody in the room except us. And we get done playing a tune and just be like, well, I mean, do we keep playing? Like, what do we do?
This is making me feel so much better about my career. Although it's happened to me a bajillion times. Well, that wasn't much longer, about a year ago as well.
Well, that one might have been like 2 years ago.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
It's just an impossible town.
Man. You know, it's kind of like my friend Max Hartman was on the show. He's an actor in L.A. For years and had a band out there and stuff. And Austin's kind of like that. He goes, you know, everyone out there is a musician. They are an actor. He goes, it's kind of a city void of an audience. All these musicians don't go see somebody unless it's Radiohead or something. They don't go, they're waiting for you to get off the stage because they got a gig there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's kind of that sense to it. Nashville's like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't draw in Nashville unless you can kind of get in with the Vanderbilt kind of thing, you know, and tap into that deal. And it works in reverse, whereas in a lot of towns where that kind of thing doesn't exist, you couldn't play there a lot. But in Austin, where there is musicians, where there's a lot of tourist kind of traffic through there, a guy like Bob Schneider can play every night. It's almost like Vegas or something.
I've noticed that.
He can sell a place out like 3 nights a week. I mean, like in Fort Worth, I can only play, you know, if I play Woody's, fine. They don't want to see me again for 4 months. I mean, I'm kind of like, dude, I can't just come in here like... Thursday nights with Phil, they're like, that's too much. People aren't going to come in. And they're absolutely right. It just doesn't work here. You can't do that. Now, maybe in the Stockyards at the Elephant, you know, you could
–
we had like a Monday night deal, but that was kind of a free just walk-in thing for a lot of years. But if you're selling tickets, you can't play every once a week. You know?
I noticed that about Bob. He does – like I'll see him like playing all the time down there, and I'm just like
– He plays every night, yeah. It's incredible. But only certain markets can support that, you know. And Nashville had some weird stuff like that. There was kind of a fun lounge act that would play a bar every Tuesday. It'd be packed with people, and then they'd play around town a little bit. You know what I mean? It was just more of the scenesters would support it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was kind of what was going on. If you weren't that, it's a tough draw.
Yeah. What's the main strip there called?
In
Nashville, where a lot of the guys play, like, you know.
Oh, Tootsie's and all that down there.
Yeah, what road is that on?
Broadway.
Is it Broadway?
Yeah, I think so.
Did
you
ever, like, have a weekly up there or anything?
No, man, I didn't do a lot of playing there.
There was
a Flying Saucer I played there a few times.
Yeah.
And we played with the band at, like, 12th and Porter. You ever heard of that place?
Uh-uh.
That's a cool kind of, I don't know, little venue kind of really hip thing. They're all, like, showcasing. In Austin and in Nashville, they always want you to play, like, 8 o'clock or so because...
Okay.
You know, the industry guys might want to come out. If you're like, well, we go on at midnight like you are in Lubbock, you know, they're not going to know what nobody goes.
Yeah.
So it's hard. It's another town void of an audience.
Yeah.
In a sense.
It's just kind of tourist, maybe.
It is, man. It's there's tourists, but you can sit down there and play, like that band BR549.
Yeah.
They played at Oh, the boot place. What is it down there? Something boots. It flew out of my mind. Oh, jeez. People are going to throw stuff at me. But they play, you get beer and boots there. Okay. They play there every Wednesday.
Every
Wednesday and every Saturday for like 5 years. It was just the biggest thing in town.
Yeah. I think, speaking of that, McMurtry does that in Austin, or at least
he does.
For a while at the Continental.
He did, yeah. He used to play Sunday nights or something like that.
Yeah.
Those guys have regular gigs. Dale Watson would play the Spoke or something. It's got enough people and turnover and interest to support it.
Right.
But, you know, in Dallas or something, that just wouldn't work.
No. And I've often wondered, I guess, how close to the same set do you play every week? I mean, you can't play all new stuff every week.
Well, a guy like Bob, who's got like 500, 1,000 songs or something, can do a lot. But, someone like yourself, you got two or three albums, you're like, man, we gotta
do something.
You'll have to do an REM retrospective one night. What other markets seem, where else do y'all play and do, have y'all been playing?
We kind of stay around Texas, and it's city by city, just kind of varies on how well we do. We do Oklahoma too.
Yeah, y'all do pretty good up there?
We do okay.
Yeah.
Getting better.
Well, we got hot up there. It seems like a hot. We had a guy who was going to OU. So, man, Norman, he'd bring his. It would be packed. And then once he graduated, it'd just be empty. You know, kind of dude, unless it's like the thing going on.
Right.
It's very hard, you know.
Yeah.
And those places seem to open and close a lot and
call
a different name. Did y'all play the deli up there?
Uh huh.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Play the deli.
I've never played there, but I've been there.
Warmy Dog and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough deal.
It's getting better for us.
Yeah. Y'all played it pretty consistently?
Yeah.
We just opened a few shows and
We've had some like crickets chirping.
Well, you know, talking about a crickets gig was me and Ryan Lynch and Chase and Sally, the original full band, went to Oklahoma City full band show. Bartender, door guy, and one other guy all night. It was like on a Thursday. And we said we just couldn't play our own songs. And so we played like Bullet the Blue Sky by U2. And we were listening to a lot of U2 for a while in the van.
Okay. Did you guys just like throw it together? Or?
Yeah, I'll throw it together. And Ryan, the bass player, knew a lot of it.
Okay.
And I knew a lot of the lyrics in Stollywood. And then we went, okay, let's also do one. So we did one. We've been playing that one. And we kind of looked at each other. We're like, man, how many in a row can we play? Can we pull off? And we sat there and we played 2 hours. We played U2. We played like 25 U2 songs in a row.
That's awesome.
And that was the show. And this one guy who'd driven in, who kind of knew us, or he knew of us, yeah, he was inspired. He was because, man, that was just, because he was kind of drunk, I think, too. But he was just like, man, you just played the show that was in front of you, man. It was incredible. And we just kept going. I was like, what's one, right? We'd come to the middle of the stage.
And just kind of figure it out. That's awesome.
And so that's what we did. That's what we did for one of those one nights. Because it's hard to sit there and sing your earnest songs.
Oh, yeah.
To an empty room. It really is.
It's
tough, man.
Yeah. You got to do something to pass the time.
You ever play? Y'all play Houston? Y'all go down to Firehouse?
We did Firehouse.
Yeah.
That's another one that's been kind of harder for us.
Yeah.
It's kind of a slow build. I don't know why.
It's a slow build. It's a kind of a country place.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know,
there's not as much radio support.
Yeah,
down there, I've noticed.
Yeah, College Station, okay for you guys?
Yeah, we love College Station.
Getting there, yeah. Where do you play there? You play Harry's?
Harry's.
Yeah?
Either Harry's or,
you'll go to Northgate over there?
Yeah, sometimes, you know.
Like, where else do y'all play besides Harry's?
What's the place Shotzi's? Called? Shotzi's.
Okay,
yeah.
Do pretty well there?
We do pretty good, and we have a lot of friends there.
Okay, you know, so supportive.
Yeah.
Our friend Cameron got the podcast.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
Cameron.
Right.
That's who texted me your number from there. It's on Parker, man. You had a good show down here. You got to get him on the podcast. I was like, all right, man, tell him to come up. So, College Station's always been a great market for us. But it definitely comes and goes with, oh, that dude graduated. Like, oh, that place closed.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we've played them all there. Goodness gracious. Many Aggie Phil Pritchett fans out there. We love you. Oh, man. 3 weeks Rodney Parker has been here, folks. What a treat for all you fans out there. Thanks for coming in, Rodney.
Well, Phil, thanks so much
for
having
me.
I sure appreciate it.
You bet, man. Anytime. We look forward to hearing that new EP, man. What's it going to be called? The Apology Part 2?
That's right.
concept album. It's not even a concept album. It's a concept series of EPs.
Yeah.
Who's done that before? I don't know.
Someone who was broke and couldn't make a full length.
There you go. I understand that well. Well, man, wait till our REM retrospective hits the airwaves.
That's
man.
Right.
Ah, it's going to blow it up, man. It's going to blow it up like it's never been blown up before. Well, thanks for being here, Rodney.
Well, I really appreciate you having me, man.
We'll be seeing you soon, you bet. Okay. Well, fans, hold on tight out there. I'm going to walk over to the vault here, blindfolded, randomly select a vinyl record to throw on here. We're going to do some listening and some talking about it in the vault next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the B2 Podcast. As I am every week, I know, except last week, where I was traveling, playing private party April shows, mixing for several bands here in the studio. Several bands. Brian Joyner and his great band have been in here, making a record. Bless you, boys. I'm working on it. I'll have you some mixes next week. It's what, you know, when you come record here at Trinidad, man, I'm mixing, I'm just sending out MP3s. Check it out. What do I got? You don't like the tambourine? It's gone. What about this? Too much bass in your car, rattling your windows? I'll lower it down. Let me know. Give me some feedback, just like you're on the podcast. How many times have you made records out there, musicians, and the guy sends it to you? This is it, man. If you want to make any changes, that's another $1,000. Not here at Trinidad World Recording Studios. Call me! 817-733-5256. Come see what Trinidad has to offer. You and me go into the room back there. We make a record with every guitar, amp, Pro Tools HD system back there, Avion, personal headphone mixes, drums, huge room. It's outstanding. Come to Trinidad and record, folks. We'd love to have you. Yeah, we've had Brian Joyner in here. My old friend Jeff King up there in Oklahoma of Notorious Gringos fame has been recording. Seth Jones has been in here. My friend Donnie Waits. How you doing, Donnie? Sent me his record. You can do this as well. Do you know this? Donnie Waits records a record on Pro Tools there in Houston. He says, look, how can I just put the finishing touches on this? I don't want to hire a keyboard guy and a guitar guy and a background vocal guy. I said, look, put a hard drive in an envelope. Send it to me. I'll do the rest of the record. So it's coming along great. Donnie sends me his record. I fly it into the system here. I'm adding some keys, little guitar, little percussion, little vocals. Then I'm going to mix and master the whole thing. Done! Done! Who else is going to do that for you? Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Well, speaking of great recordings, how about a great recording band? Spoon! We know Rodney Parker loves Spoon. We all love us some Spoon. Love that Beast and Dragon Adored, the opening track from their album. Gimme, what's it called? Good Lord, I just forgot. What's it called? Gimme Shelter. Oh, good Lord. Gimme Fiction. Great Spoon album.
Remember old Kurt South, man, the podcast on Kurt South. Now, by the way, we're going to be calling Kurt South in the coming weeks. He's up there in Virginia, living in a cabin, living on mice and fish, and doing what he always threatened to do, to leave and to just disappear into the East. That's what he's done. But we're going to try to track him down just for old time's sake, find out what he's up to in the coming weeks. So look forward to that. But back to Spoon here. Kurt South was not a Spoon fan. That's why I brought him up. But how could he not be a fan of this song? I love it, dude. Tell me if this doesn't sound like a Phil Pritchett and the Full Band song. The Two Sides of Monsieur Valentine. Spoon. Rockin' creepy spy thriller. The Two Sides of Monsieur Valentine. Oh, yeah! What a great tune, man. Gimme Fiction we're listening to here. The great record by Spoon. I don't even know when it came out. Early aughts, maybe? Oh. I don't have it on vinyl. I got some Spoon on vinyl. I don't have this one on vinyl. It's just in my iTunes. See, man, I don't have any cover art. I can't see when it was recorded and all this stuff. Well, it's fantastic nonetheless. I love this next song. Man, Spoon just got this great basic stuff. They work in a real minimalist environment. Just a lot of times the guy's just, he's just playing like one string on the guitar. The drummer's just going bass, snare. Like there's no hi-hat. It's just so simple, man. But so contagious, so infectious, the grooves. Just like this. I turned my camera on. This was on a commercial a while back. I saw it came on. It's like a Volkswagen commercial, maybe? Or a Lexus, something going down the street, and this song kicks in. I don't know. Have I changed? I used to just get so PO'd, you know, when somebody sold a song to an album or to a company or on a commercial. Now I just think, man, good for them, you know? Cool. I don't know. Have our times changed that much? If a Phil Pritchett song showed up in a Chevy truck commercial, would you go, I'm done with him. Forget Phil. I don't know, man. I'll send out an email going, hey, at least I got some cash. Sorry, had to do that. Had to help somebody go through college. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe our times have changed. Let me know. Email me, phil@philpritchard.com. Anyway, check out this Spoon song right here.
Gimme Fiction.
I turn my camera on. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios. Thanks to Rodney Parker of 50 Peso Reward fame, who has been here the last three episodes, sharing his wisdoms, his triumphs, his struggles in the Texas music world. And man, I continue to get people coming in the studio going, man, I love this Rodney Parker record, you know, and I love their show and all this. Very cool. And Rodney and I are very serious about doing a little REM EP. I don't know if we're going to put it on iTunes or just give it away or something. I don't know. So look forward to that, man. Me and Parker, we've still been talking about getting back there and doing some REM songs. Maybe just acoustic or maybe just some funny versions of them. We'll have to see which way that goes. So look forward to that here in the coming weeks or coming months. Rodney Parker and myself. Phil, how you doing? Doing some REM tunes. Well, we have been listening to Spoon here in the vault from their great record, Gimme Fiction. Check it out, man. Great recordings. Great arrangements, songwriting, and just always very intriguing for me as a guy who makes records to listen to. Very simple sounds, not a big wall of sound, not eight guys playing a G chord through a Mesa Boogie amp. Good grief, let's stop that. The simpler, the better. You know, when you strip it down and get real simple, your song better be good. You better have some cool lyrics, a cool beat. The song better do something. You just can't sit there and just crank away on an A chord for 3 minutes. Well, we will see you next week on the podcast. We're going to leave you with this latest Spoon track here, My Mathematical Mind. This was also in a commercial. Spoon must have a good publishing agent, you know, getting their songs and some commercials. Because they're out there touring, making records, of course, and yeah. That's a beatdown. That takes all your money. But then you get, you know, the Volkswagen commercial, and you get a check for, and then the check in the P.O. box there for a couple hundred grand, maybe. I don't know. Is that what they get? I don't know. Of course, you got to split that five ways with all the guys in the band or whoever owns the song. Oh, a depressing topic for another time. Well, we'll tackle that maybe next week. We'll leave you with My Mathematical Mind. I have been Phil Pritchett here. Thank you, folks. Book Phil Pritchett and the full band, or come record here at the studio, phil@philpritchett.com. We love you all out there, fans. We'll see you next week. Much tougher.